When you, what happens when you see the toothpick come out?
Close your mouth.
Turn your minds on. Open up your hearts. We're going to open up the Word of God, right? Divided it, rightly divided. Why? Come on. To apply it. So today is what? What's the date?
Today's
13. Anyway, I'm Paul Baalbek III. Y'all know me as Too Tall Paul. And I'm filling in for Dave. Today is 12/13. Thank you, 2020. And I feel honored to be able to minister. And anyway, we're gonna get started. I'm gonna open up in prayer, and then Mary and our sister is gonna.
Tracy.
Did you want me to say the last name too? And they're going to bless you with the song. And I'll just tell you the title of my message. We'll probably wait till it starts, right? Leave you hanging. I'm going to do a little Christmas message this morning because I know the pastor usually will sort of work something in his message, but I'm going to actually do one about Christmas and the incarnation, and because Christmas is coming pretty fast up. And so with that, let's open in prayer, and then sisters will come up and bless you with the song. And I won't sing, so that'll be a blessing to you too. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another day of grace. We look forward to Christ coming back and meeting with our loved ones in the clouds and each other. But in the meantime, Father, I thank you leave us here, even though we do suffer because we live in a fallen world. But we'll be rewarded for that, for everything we go through here, because you want us to reach out to the lost and to edify the saved. So I pray the message this morning in adult Sunday school class would be edifying, comforting, challenging. And I pray that for when Dave gives a message for the pastor. And we also pray for the pastor in the church. He'll be giving the message at today, that you work in him mightily and powerfully and do more than we could ask or even imagine. And so I pray the song will glorify Christ, magnify his name, glorify you, Father, and bless the saints here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So here they come. Hey, no whispering, huh?
It's top secret.
This is totally impromptu, just so you know. But I felt I want my sister to be part of this because a few years ago at the conference, we had a group and we sang this, if you remember. Some of you might remember that.
The Women of Grace.
Where's Linda?
Yeah, right? Where's Linda?
Okay, hold on. Give me a second. So this is Mary, Did You Know? Can you hear it?
It's not this, Mary.
Yeah, did you know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy would come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod?
When you kiss your little baby, then you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb?
What happens when you see the toothpick come out?
Close your mouth.
Turn your minds on. Open up your hearts. And open up the word of God. Rightly find it. Rightly. Come on.
Shit.
Go apply it.
It started. It was in my pocket. The recorder started going off.
Thank you all for being gracious.
Amen. Thank you, ladies, for blessing us with that song. You know, God's not looking for our abilities, just our availability, right? And Tracy's perfect putting that into practice just coming up. You know, they didn't have time to practice or anything. So that was a blessing to me. Anyway, the message I'm going to give this morning is the gift above all gifts. As I said, Christmas is rushing upon us. And speaking of Christmas, I want to ask you, you know me, you know my sense of humor, hopefully. Do you think I believe in Santa Claus, Saint Nick? Yes.
I don't.
Now don't nobody run out, boy. Sit down. No. Boy, be like, Paul's really going off this time. See, we gotta believe in facts around Christmas, right? I do believe in Saint Nicholas. He was a figure in history. Supposedly he was a rich guy, and he trusted in Christ and back then, this was early on, he became a monk, and he was giving away and helping people with his the money he had. He was a rich guy. So yeah, there was a Saint Nick. Now Santa Claus, modern day, no. See, that's a secular version. So I'm going to look at something else before we actually look at the incarnation. That's traditions are built around Christmas, right? And teachings from God's Word. So it's very important to know God's Word to test even history, right? If it goes against God's Word, we know then history's wrong. Because even science, archaeology, always catches up with the Bible, you know? So what's one of the things around Mary, the mother, the physical mother of Christ, is taught that, and this is human philosophy. When you just use human philosophy and your own IQ, you come up with things, if it's not based on God's word, that are erroneous. And sometimes they become traditions for hundreds and thousands of years, and they're taught as, you know, actual the Bible. Well, you think of Mary, right? The miraculous incarnation of Christ. That's what I'll be teaching on in a little bit. But what's been sort of through traditions and years, people believe that Mary had, she was a perpetual virgin, right? We'll look at scriptures and see that's not true. And why did they come to that conclusion? Because if Mary had a sin nature, they think, then Christ would have a sin nature, right? So here's human logic. Well, Christ didn't have a sin nature, so Mary couldn't have. Well, we're going to look at Scripture and see Mary did have a sin nature, but it's not passed through the woman, it's passed through the man. We'll look at the Scriptures. So that idea, you know, that Mary never had any other children, that's anti-Scripture. Because Scripture tells us Jesus had brothers and sisters. So see how traditions get built up and then they're handed down and people just take them as their doctrines of men, traditions. And Paul warns us about that, right? Watch that you're not in Colossians 2:8, I think. Watch that you're not taken captive to deceptive philosophies and traditions of men. So let's go back, first of all, to, you know, we get accused of sometime mid-Acts dispensationalists that we just stay in Paul's epistles. We never, you know, we draw out all the rest of the Bible. That's not true. Now, some do. They think that's all we should stay in, that the other ain't important. But what did Paul tell us? All Scripture is profitable, right? So we're going to go back to Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7. So I don't know. Did I do a good job? You know how the pastor starts out with the humorous thing? I had something else, but I thought I'll leave that one alone. And I just did a Santa Claus thing to get your attention. Isaiah, and I say chapter 7, starting in verse 14. Isaiah 7:14. Could one of you young people give me a little water? Could you give me a little water, bro? Young people. Thank you. Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. I'm sure most of you know what the name Emmanuel means. God with us, right? Did you notice it says a virgin? Because you have the traditions, you know, the conservative traditions in religion, but then you got the liberals that call themselves Christians. They don't believe in any miracles. They don't believe Christ rose from the dead. So to me, don't call yourself a Christian. Because the virgin birth, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, like some of them think, he didn't really die. He got resuscitated in the tomb. Oh, really? He had nails in his hands and his feet, a sword shoved up into his heart, and he pushed probably 1,000 to 2,000 pound stone away, right? There's been people who looked at the resurrection that tried to disprove it because the resurrection, everything stands on the resurrection. Do you know that? Everything stands. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, what'd Paul say? We're still in our sins. And you know, when they honestly, like C.S. Lewis, what a great mind, someone else, I can't think of his name, Morris, I think, who rolled the stone away. Some set out to disprove the resurrection. They looked at the evidence for it, and they said they couldn't deny it. C.S. Lewis said, he was dragged by the Holy Spirit, kicking hand and feet. He didn't want to believe, but he said, mentally, honestly, I couldn't deny it. And he had to trust in Christ. You know, so it's not that, you know, when people make fun of you, oh, you're a Christian, you believe in, you know, an Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, and, you know, at least you got something to tell them about Santa Claus now. But if you see here, the Word of God says a virgin, right? What I say in 14? It said, therefore the Lord himself, God himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall his, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Go to chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. This is another prophecy about Christ, Israel's Messiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, now I want to stop there. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. What was that? Christ's first advent, right? He left heaven's glory, came to earth, and we'll look at the incarnation. That's such a miracle. Something to celebrate. Not just on Christmas. We should think about these things throughout the year, but sometime, why I don't have a problem with celebrating certain holidays, Thanksgiving. I think that's a biblical holiday. This is God's will, we give thanks. But it's not just a one day. But certain things, even like Christmas, bring to our mind. The wonderful, I mean, it's hard to get around your mind. God, you know, Christ, who we'll look at it in a minute, that all things were created by him and for him, right? He created all things. So that means he existed. He didn't create himself. He was God the Son. And he entered into his creation. Can you get your head around that? I mean, that's the wonder of Christmas. The wonder of the incarnation. Not just, and you know, because actually December 25th is probably isn't the day. Actually, I think biblically you'd find out not the day that Christ was actually born. You can look that up for yourselves. But then you get, you know, I call them doctrine heads, that so it's wrong to celebrate. I don't celebrate Christmas and Easter, you know, Resurrection Day. Well, I do. Because we don't know the exact day Christ was took on the incarnation, took on flesh. What if I didn't know my birthday because I was adopted and they didn't know? And I chose a day to celebrate my birthday. Is that wrong? No. So this is a day that I and my family, now if someone doesn't, Paul talks about some do celebrate a day under God and some don't celebrate under God. So if you don't, that's fine. I'm not going to judge that. Just don't judge people that do. And people that do, don't judge people that don't. You know. But it's just something that's so, it's wondrous. You know? I don't want to say magical, you know, because magical, but it just has that idea. You know, there's a wonder in Christmas. And so, but here it says, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. God is rightly dividing the word here, do you know that? I like Dave, he did a thing about, right from the first chapter of the Bible, God rightly divided the night from the day, right? The heavens from the earth. It shows God, there's a difference of a heavenly program and an earthly program. It's not revealed back there, we don't know till Paul later, right? But here, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's Christ's birth, his first advent. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. For those who, this prophecy about Christ, for those who don't believe Christ is God, he's just, you know, your Eastern mysticism that's coming to Christianity. Oh, he's just a higher, you know, in a new age, a higher realization, you know, he's not a God. He just realized he's God and you're God too. See, all that garbage. If you know the word of God, you'll be like, what? Where are you getting that? Ain't from the Bible. So it says the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So here you got Christ's first advent, right? When he comes in the manger. But I always tell people, they like to have mangers in their front yard, don't they? Yeah. And the wise men around it, you know, and Mary and Joseph, you know, they like that. Unbelievers, religious people, they got all that stuff. But they don't like to know Christ ain't in a manger anymore. He's sitting at the right. He has what? He died. He was buried. He rose. He ascended. He's seated at the right hand of God and power and authority above all principalities, powers. And we're seated with him. Boy, talk about blessings. Talk about Christmas gifts. This is a gift every day we rejoice in. We give thanks every day, right? I hope you're focusing on that. That's why it's important to come to church. You know that? Because, and I hope you're studying the word on your own. Don't be a lazy Christian, because if you're not, I'm going to tell you straight up, and you see one finger out there, three are pointing back at me. If you're not into the Word of God, you're going to be conformed in this world. You're going to be thinking like the world. Yeah, you're a Christian, but we can be sometime functional atheists. Afraid, just like unbelievers. Ooh, what's going on in the world? Focus on the world, right? Ooh, what if I die? Man, I'm looking forward to dying, huh, Bill? Amen. Bill's mad that when he had his heart attack, he did to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. But I told him, hey, think of Lori. God, let's not be selfish. You know, because we're going to go to be with the Lord. We have nothing to fear. If we're in pain, and I was, right? 4 months, 2 months in rehab, and I was in pain after that even for a long time. But I had Christ. He was my strength. And you got to appropriate that by faith. I can do all things through Christ. Well, you can know the doctrine, but if you don't take them details, what you know, and apply it in the details of your life, then it's just like we'll be functional atheists. You know, we're Christians, but thinking just like the world. What's Paul say? Be transformed by renewing in your mind. Where's your mind getting renewed? The Word of God, especially rightly divided, right? So you understand it. And then you're transformed. But if you're not doing that, what's going to happen? You're going to be conformed to this world. And is that God's will? Would Paul say, don't? So on my Thursday night Bible study on Facebook, I mentioned about that. If you haven't been studying the Word, New Year's is coming up, right? New Year's resolutions that people usually break within a week. Like, I'm going to start working out. I'll join the health club. You sign the contract. You go one time and you're sore and you don't go back. You still got to pay the things. So what I said was, don't wait for New Year's. If you ain't been into the Word, haven't made it like a discipline in your life, if you want to call it. To me, discipline almost sounds, you know, you got to do it. But that what I call a spiritual holy habit of staying in the Word, then start. But don't wait till New Year's. You'll probably forget about it and never start. Just like, but start tomorrow. Or I told my Bible study group, start tonight after the study if you want. So important. You know, when you don't stay in this Word, you know, the Word of God that worketh in you, that idea is spiritually energizes you. We're not going to have spiritual energy, and no wonder we're going to be feeling burnt out, spiritually burnt out. So anyway, you look here, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's his first advent. Now look at the right division. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Okay, when's that? After the rapture, right? Because there's no early prophetic kingdom prophecies being fulfilled today. We live in a time of what? Paul calls a mystery that was hid in other ages, right? It's unsearchable. So this is after the rapture. That ends the dispensation of grace, that mystery time. Then the seven-year tribulation, Christ comes back, right? He brings in the kingdom. That's where he's talking about. The government will be upon his shoulders. See, if you don't rightly divide the word, what do you do with this passage? You think, oh, it's a spiritual kingdom inside of you, right? There's no real, there's not going to be a kingdom on the earth. It's the kingdom, and they'll go to Paul's epistles, even where Paul talks about the kingdom. But what's Paul talk about? A spiritual kingdom, like the body of Christ. We're a spiritual organism, right? Paul calls the body of Christ. But if when you learn to rightly divide the word, what? Everybody should have, in this church, should have that 2 Timothy 2:15 down, right? Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you look at this, you can understand, and you don't got to spiritualize things. You know what Pastor O'Hare used to say? When you start to spiritualize, you start to tell spiritual lies. And I would wholeheartedly agree with him. He's one of the early grace pioneers that I have a lot of respect. He suffered a lot of persecution, man. Anyway, let's go. I'm going to have to jump some verses. Go to Psalm 69:8. Back up two chapters. I was going to go to Psalm, well, I think this one actually might say it. Psalm 69:8. To show Jesus had brothers and sisters. Yeah, this will say right here. Now, this is a prophecy about Christ again. And Christ fulfilled every prophecy up till then. Then there will be some that would be fulfilled in the future. Now, if everything has been fulfilled in Christ up till you know, that when he was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, don't you think it's going to be fulfilled about him coming back? Yeah. You can bet your life on it. Here he says, it's about Christ. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. Did Mary have children? After Christ, not before. Said Joseph took her as his wife but didn't know her until, you know, after Christ was born, if you want. So now let me tell you how the traditions try and get around this one. When it says my mother's children, or it'll talk about in through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Here's some, if you want to write down these verses, Luke 1, 26 through 38, and then verse 47, and then it shows here, verse 46 and 48, she had other children. Now, what they'll say is, excuse me, when it talks about Christ's brothers, and just for time, I don't want to stay back here or I'd go there. They'll say, because I had a guy trying to explain that to me, and I'm like, you really believe that, right? He said, well, brothers can mean like, you know, your brothers, your brethren, and that's not, if you go to the word, what it actually means, and that why did they translate it? Because that was a proper translation. So he had brothers and sisters. And if you look here, you can't deny that. I am a stranger unto my brethren. Now there's the brethren. And an alien unto my mother's children. Okay. Now let's look at the one incarnation. We looked a little bit about how we need to base our beliefs on Scripture, right? And Scripture rightly divided. So what's the wonder of Christmas? You know, is it, if you look in a worldly thing, I was listening even to some Christians, what's Christmas about? Oh, it's a warm time with my family, and we give gifts, and we have a good meal, and I'm thinking, you know, how would you like to have a birthday party, and nobody mentions you at the party, nobody talks to you? Christmas, the celebration even, like I said, if you don't, that's fine. Don't celebrate it. It's your choice. Me and my family, as for me and my family, we're going to, and there's a reason. It's about Christ. It's about the incarnation. That's something to celebrate. Let's look at it. Why did Christ get baptized, water baptized? What did Peter say why, when he preached to Israel, the kingdom gospel? I'm sorry. I'm the gypsy preacher. He's got that camera. I'm lucky I'm more calm than I used to be, because I used to be all over. And then people would be getting dizzy while they're watching it. Now, where was I going? Why was Christ baptized? What did Peter say? Repent, that means change your mind. It doesn't mean turn from your sins and all that. Just repentance, that's what the word means. And be baptized, that's water baptized in context, for the remission of sins. And you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Did Christ need to be cleansed from his sins? No. He wasn't a mere man. We'll see why. He didn't have a sin nature. Why was he getting baptized then? Christ was identifying with sinners. So he got baptized just like the cross. Christ identified with our sins. He paid for our sins. Every sin we'll ever do from the day we're born to the day we die. Think how many sins you've done. Unless you're one of them people, well, I'm a pretty good person. Be honest. Man, every day I let God down. Every day I sin. Maybe I'm not doing the sins out there partying, gangbanging, and when I was, you know, a lot younger, and womanizing. Maybe I ain't, not maybe, I'm not doing them. I've been faithful to my wife, and I always pray. I say, God, since we got married, I said, keep me faithful to Mary. She don't deserve to be hurt. She was hurt before. And I says, because I know what I'm capable of in this flesh. And we're 13 years married, and I can say, praise God. I'm not taking credit. My choices, you know, but I have that desire, but it's because God has actually given me the desire. One thing, to be faithful to her, but before her, faithful to him. So I don't blow my testimony and everything that I'm sharing. Like when I was a pastor, I used to tell, I'd always try and be on time. Like I was on time here, you know, but then I'm running, but I try and be on time, you know why? Or I text Dave, told him I'm on my way. I think Mary texts a couple people. So if you love people, you don't want them to worry. I says, why do you think, I used to drive because even as a pastor, I didn't take a salary, you know, or whatever you want to call it. It was a small church, and we said later if it grew, maybe, but we just didn't do it. Meaning, I co-pastored it with another guy, and we did it because we love being used by the Lord. It's none when God uses you to touch other people's lives, right? No more meaning and purpose for life. No more meaning and purpose to wake up in the morning and say, here I am, Lord. I ain't all that on my own, but I'm the righteousness of you in Christ. And you can use me, right? And I tell them, I train dogs professionally. So I'm driving up. Now, if you know Chicago area, you know Bill, you did work in there. You might even party in some of these places in a day. You go up Cicero, there'd be hookers, like, you know, flashing you and, you know, and I'd just be like, keep driving. And I tell them, you know why? I could do that. Even the pastor, Ricky, you know, I don't believe he ever would, but he's capable. He got sin nature too. Never put your pastor up here because you'll knock him down. If he comes up short in some area, you're going to be all discouraged. That's why we pray for pastor. But I told him, you know why I didn't do it? I mean, one time I'm at Kentucky Fried Chicken and this lady comes out, hey, you want a date? And I said, nah. I said, you need something to eat or something? And then we come back out. So I bought her something to eat. She goes, well, let's go in your truck. And I'm pastor, right? And I said, nah, I don't think so. She's like, what? You afraid of me? And I said, no, I ain't afraid of you. But I just know I could use you, and you could use me, some money. But it wouldn't touch your life. But because I'm showing you the love of God, and I share the gospel with her, and I invite her to church, now maybe that affects her life. I don't know. But I told them, you know why I don't do something? Because it would hurt yous. And I love, you know, I was a pastor. I love my congregation just like Pastor Ricky. And so in marriage, it's the same thing. You know, out of love, because we have God's love, and we love, we're supposed to love one another, right? And you know the first one you're supposed to love? Your wife. or your husband and your children. Then ministry. Sometimes pastors get it wrong. They put all the ministry first, and no wonder their kids go off. So anyway, Christ identified, that's why he got baptized, identified with fallen, actually the nation Israel. And in the cross, also, he identified with every human being, fallen human being. And when we trust and identify ourselves as a sinner that Christ is dying for, God identifies us with his death. He places us, the Holy Spirit baptizes us. There's no water. Spiritual, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, into his death, his burial. We died who we were in Adam, and we rose with Christ. And not only rose, a lot of Christians don't even understand that. Ask them, what's it mean to be a Christian? Oh, Jesus died for my sins. I'm like, do you ask him to forgive you? Well, yeah. I've been taught 1 John 1:9, confess your sins, and he'll cleanse you, and blah, blah, blah. And I go, I thought you said he forgave you. So most Christians don't get even understand the finale of the cross. All your sins were dealt with 2,000 years ago. They were all future, right? So ask them, what's the resurrection mean? Oh, Easter, the Easter bunny. You know, the resurrection means Christ was resurrected, right? He was dead. He was resurrected. When God identified us in his death, burial, and resurrection, we rose to life. Christ's spirit came and indwelled us and sealed us, and we're forever in Christ. Christ in us, we can do all things through Christ in us. That Christ in you now, as you depend upon him, he can express, his Holy Spirit can be, he can express his love and his truth through us, and his Holy Spirit produces the fruit, right? So that's the wonderful thing, right? Now, if Christ didn't come and identify and even take on flesh yet without sin, he who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin, Christ didn't never sin. That's why he could die for our sins. And because he was God, too. So only God can forgive sins, right? Boy, I never get enough time. Shoot that big old clock. If y'all were real spiritual, you'd say, just take another hour. Be like Paul all night, and the guy falls out the window, and he's got to pray for him. And anyway, think about this. This is the celebration of Christmas. The Creator become identified with his creation. He's still being God. See, Jesus didn't lose anything. You can't stop being God. He just took on flesh and a human nature, yet without sin. Okay? Now, go to Colossians 1, 13 and 19. And I'm going to have to try and fly through this and still make sense. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Got to make application. Colossians 1, 13 through 19. Who has delivered us from Colossians 1, starting in 13. Who has delivered us from, from the power of darkness. We've been delivered from Satan's stronghold. He can't make us do anything. He can just try and deceive us. And what did he do? And here's what I was talking about. This is a spiritual kingdom. It's not an earthly kingdom. The earthly kingdom ain't here, right? It's in the sphere of his heavenly kingdom. What's it say? We're citizens of heaven, right? It says, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Talking about Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. Remember Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, the only way you're going to know what God's like is today through his word. And then you look at Christ. What was he like? He was loving. He was forgiving. Yet he was righteous, right? we learn what the Father's like. And so he says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And so I believe that's he's talking about the firstborn from the dead. I didn't look at that part of it. But for by him, this is Christ, all things were created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Think of this. This is God, the Son. And he came to earth, right? Did he come riding a white horse? That's going to happen later. But when he came the first time, he didn't come to live as God. Did you know that? He came to, if you ask me, there's a lot of reasons why he came. He came to show also, there's principles in the Gospels we learn from. You got to be careful because Christ is teaching Israel and the law. But there's principles. He made his humanity available to the Father. Remember he says, I can do nothing on my own. Well, he's God. He could have, right? But he didn't come to show himself that he's God. He came to live as a man, right? And let the Father express himself through him. So if you've seen him, you've seen what the Father's like. That's when we make our bodies available for Christ in us. What's Romans 12 say? In view of God's mercies, that idea. His loving kindness says, offer your bodies, like Christ did, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. That idea is reasonable or logical. That word service has the idea of worship. Worship is when you offer your body to God. But if you don't really divide the word, you don't go to Paul's epistles, you don't know you're totally justified. You think God's looking at you based on what you do, right? But when you understand, I'm justified in Christ. I have a new nature that is totally righteous. That, because I always say, when at the rapture, we're not getting anything inwardly. We already got everything we're going to have for heaven. It's going to be outwardly, a body with no sin nature. So our new nature wants to serve God, so we can offer ourselves. And then God, not only are we telling people about God, they're seeing Christ in us, expressed out of us. At work, in your family, with your enemy, treat him with love. Want to get him back? It's like pouring hot coals on her head. But get him back with love. Don't get him back with hate. I got to wrap up. So anyway, all things were created by him and for him, right? In 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So think this. In time past, Christ created all things. This is the Christ that left heaven, heaven's glory, takes on human flesh. And he didn't come on a white horse in a royal kingdom and throne then. What'd he do? A stinking manger. Animals around. How humble. The humility, the humiliation that should have probably took for him to leave heaven. The angels, man, they knew who he was. You know? And he left. Why? For you. For me. Because we couldn't save ourselves. And what it say? That for the hope, right? He endured even the shame of the cross for the hope set before him. He knew what his death, burial, and resurrection would do for us. So when we think of Christmas, there are some other places I want to go. Go to Romans 5:12. And I can't do the rest. I was going to go to John for your notes, 1:1-3, and then verse 14, that the Word was with God, the Word was God, and then the Word became flesh. There's the idea of Christmas. But what I say, Romans 5:12, I'm going to go 5 minutes over. I've got 2 minutes. Thanks for your permission. I got started 5 minutes. Romans 5:12. Help me to get in Romans 5, chapter 5. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, where's that? Who's that? Adam. And death by sin, the wages of sin is death. So everybody inherited its spiritual death from Adam. Because when Adam rebelled against God, he believed a lie, Satan's lie, the Spirit of God left him. He couldn't pass on spiritual life, and he gained some sin nature. So he passes that on to every single person. So I don't care how religious you are, if you're watching this, how moral you are, you're in Adam. God says all of your pseudo self-righteousness is filthy rags. And we need a Savior that can save to the uttermost, right? And that's Christ. And so anyway, that's the idea. Christ came, right? He got incarnated. I just can't, it's just hard for me to get that around my mind. Go to verse 8 through 10. 5, 8 through 10. Now this is God's part. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Imagine what it took for God. Any of you's got kids or maybe a niece and nephew you really love. Would you send them out to die for a bunch of filthy, dirty, rotten, filthy, righteous, ragged people? But look at the Father's love. God demonstrated this. God demonstrated his own love. I think of his own unique love in this. While we're still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. How much more, after having died and God justified you, how much more intimacy, how much more do you think God looks at you? Not no longer in fallen Adam. You know, talking about gifts. But God commended his love and towards us in this. Verse 8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Listen to this now. Much more, don't you love the much more, Paul's? Much more than now being justified by his blood. See, that happened once for all. We shall be saved from wrath through him. So the idea is you could take it for the tribulation will be raptured, or the wrath in hell. Aren't you glad for that? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Listen to this. Much more being, the idea is having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That word life is Zoe. It means spiritual life. It's resurrection life. We're forgiven by his blood. The cross broke the power of the sin nature, so we don't got to get into it. But it's through his life we're saved. We were spiritually dead in our sins. Dead man can't change that, right? And Christ, God sent Christ, right? Think about that. If that don't touch your heart, or at least your mind, but it should get in our heart too. You know, in scripture, heart has the idea of mind and emotions. I'm just going to read to you what the last part. Like I said, I never get in all my verses. So remember this as we put all this together and think about it. Don't just, after you leave church, go thinking about what you're going to cook for dinner, whatever. Take some time, you know, either before the Bears game or after the Bears game. Remember this, the greatest and best gift won't be under a tree at Christmas. It's the one who hung on a tree, hung on a cross made from a tree. Let's share this gift. Me and Mary have a cross tree we made up with the red scarf. And I explain it to people. What Christmas is really about. Why did Christ come? He didn't come just to come vacation from heaven. Why would he come to the ghetto of earth, right? He came, was born in the manger, right? Lived a sinless life, completely sinless. And then he dies in our place on a cruel and criminal's cross. for us. What love. But it didn't stop there. He was buried, and he rose victorious over Satan, sin, death. And today, anyone, if you're out there, or if you're in here, just because you were raised in church don't mean you're saved. God got no grandchildren. But if you don't know, if you don't remember some time that when you recognize he died for your sins personally, trust today that he died for your sins. Every sin you ever do, he was buried, he rose again, and that you can be saved by grace. That means unmerited, I don't earn favor, through just simple faith. Faith is dependent trust. Not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not a works, lest any man should boast. So let's pray. I wouldn't put that decision off, because that invitation is getting extended, but it's a limited time offer. If you die leaving this world, for a believer to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, for an unbeliever, you go right to hell. And after the rapture, that looks, we don't know when it's going to happen. It sure seems like when you read Paul's epistles, what's going to happen before the rapture, it's getting real close. Once we're raptured, it's not going to be easy to get saved. You got to endure till the end. You can't take the mark of the beast. You can't buy, sell, right? Today is a day of salvation. Don't put it off. Tell God thank you. Trust that Christ died for your sins. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for what awesome, infinite love it took for you to send your precious Son to this earth, where you and he knew that his own people would, most of them would reject him. Most people in the world would reject him. And yet, you knew some would trust. And I thank you, Lord, when I heard the gospel and I trusted that day and you eternally saved me. I thank you for my brother and sisters here, the day they trusted, and that now we're all in the spiritual family together, the spiritual organism called the church, the body of Christ. Thank you for teaching us how to rightly divide the word so we can understand your word. And I just thank you, Father. I celebrate when your Son came, the wonder of the incarnation. It's just, we could think about it all year, and maybe we should, and just stay in wonder of it. So in Jesus' name I pray, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, we don't sing this time. Usually I forget to sing, and then you guys start me up, but I almost sang without the end of Sunday school instead of church. Thank y'all for staying awake. I didn't see no bloodhounds out there.
No.
Going like this?
I was very proud of you.
You mean